Melchizedek, a name shrouded in mystery, and it's fun to say, but I don't think I would name my firstborn after him. He is an important figure in history, and he shows up in our epistle from Hebrews for this morning. We first hear of Melchizedek back in Genesis chapter 14, but then again in Psalm 110 and in our epistle reading for today from Hebrews. Melchizedek is like this mysterious figure who suddenly crosses the stage and exits. Yet he is a strangely significant and fascinating person in history. Now, if we look back at Genesis, we find Abram. Abram, you might remember him better as Abraham, has been called to God to a new land, and he's been promised an heir. He's been told that his offspring will be as numerous as the stars in the sky and uncountable like the sand on the seashore. God has promised to bless Abram and make his name great. However, after several years, Abram does not have much to show for it. His situation actually has gotten worse instead of better. He has endured a famine, sought refuge in Egypt, been deported from Egypt, and also mediated a dispute with his nephew Lot over some grazing land. Then in Genesis 14, we read about a war that has broken out between several of the kings, and that leads to the capture of Abram's nephew Lot. And Abram, upon hearing about this, gathers all of his men together and successfully rescues Lot and his possessions, along with the women, the children, the people. But God has something far greater in store for Abram than this victory. As the dust settles, this man Melchizedek, the king of Salem, suddenly appears. Most scholars believe him to be the king of Jerusalem. He is the priest of the Most High God. He shows his gratitude to Abram by bringing him bread and wine, enough to feed and strengthen all of his soldiers. Melchizedek goes on to bless Abram by saying, "Blessed be Abram by God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." In response, Abram then goes on to give him a tenth of everything that he brought back after defeating those other kings. His ally, the king of Sodom, then offers Abram goods in exchange for the people that he rescued, but Abram refuses, stating that he will not take anything from the king. Instead, he allows his allies to take their share. And that's it. That's all the biblical history that we have concerning Melchizedek. But I think you can begin to guess why the psalmist and the writer to the Hebrews brings him up 1,000 years later, and why he's so significant for us today. Christ is for us, as Melchizedek was to Abram. But even more, like Melchizedek, Christ enters into our life right when we need him the most. But he never disappears. In holy baptism, we, like Abram, have been called by God, but it's not being called by God to a life of ease or worldly glory. Jesus tells us in today's gospel that our call is to be servants, not masters, and to be slaves, not lords. Like Abram, our worldly situation isn't always that pretty. In fact, it can get pretty ugly at times. For we don't do battle against kings, but we do battle with the devil, with the world, with our sinful flesh. In many ways, we can identify with the Hebrew Christians to whom our text was written. Like Abram, they had discovered that their faith and their loyalty to God exposed them to many trials and much suffering. And what were they to do? Were they to to go back to their old heathen ways? Or were they to press on towards the goal? Many times we too are faced with this same situation, with this same decision. And at times like this, we may need that sympathetic ear. So we turn to those who can deal with us in a gentle way, who know as best as anyone can what we are going through. But as good as that can be for us, our brothers and sisters in Christ are like us in that they are also plagued by weakness and by sin. They can only help us so much. So we need more. We need much more. We need deliverance. We need a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. As Melchizedek was to Abram, Christ is to us, and much, much more. As high priest, Christ intercedes for us. In verse 7 in Hebrews chapter 5, it says, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. Now, the Jewish rabbis of old eventually distinguished between three types of prayers: a prayer with a soft voice, a loud cry with a strong voice, and tears with intense emotion, just like Christ was praying. This was the highest form of prayer. And in the Greek Bible, the word that was translated as reverence in verse 7 usually refers to a reverential fear of God. But in other Greek writings from that time period, it can also denote caution and outright fear. Well, the idea here is that the insistent and persistent prayer is one of supplication or request, that of a person whose very existence is being threatened. By his loud cries and tears, Christ identifies himself with the righteous person from the Psalms who cries out to God for deliverance from death and takes up his cause in reverence before God. And while it is possible to understand Christ's prayer and his obedience as a reference to his actual fear of death, the emphasis of Christ's prayer and his obedience shows that it describes his reverence and his respect for God instead. So as we move along to verse 8, we read that Christ is obedient for us, learning obedience through what he suffered. This is just not any sort of obedience, but it is a total obedience to God that was appropriate to Jesus' divinity and also his sacrifice as the perfect Lamb of God. It might be perplexing for us to comprehend how the Son of God, Jesus Christ, gained or learned obedience through suffering. After all, he's God, right? You might even think of the popular American slogan or phrase, no pain, no gain, which is normally used as a motto for strenuous physical exercise. But the obedience that is stressed here is one that expresses an idea that can be traced far back into the Jewish oral tradition, the Mishnah, from the 2nd century AD, where the rabbi from that time said, according to the suffering, so is the reward. Meaning that without pain in doing what God commands, there is no spiritual gain. Jesus, the true God, but also true man, obeyed in every way. He obeyed God perfectly to be the unblemished lamb for the sacrifice. And because he was perfectly obedient, despite the challenges, the pain, the temptation that we all face as human beings, he becomes the source of eternal salvation for all that obey and believe in him. Earlier in Hebrews chapter 2, the author writes, "For it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. For he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one source. Christ's suffering and his dying has brought salvation to completion. The passive voice here in the Greek indicates that this action was done by God. Jesus here is regarded as obedient and the source of salvation because he obeyed God in his suffering death on behalf of all sinners. And because of that, God bestows eternal life on all those who believe in him. And because Jesus was obedient even unto death, God ordains him, announcing the official proclamation of his status as the high priest in the order of Melchizedek. Jesus is the high priest who offers the sacrifice and is also the sacrifice itself. Melchizedek, this man wrapped in mystery, can be viewed as a foreshadowing of the great high priest, Jesus Christ. And like Melchizedek, Christ feeds us not just with physical food, but with spiritual food also. In with and under the bread and the wine, he gives us his very body and blood to forgive our sins, to strengthen our faith, and give us the energy to press on toward the goal, press on to eternal life. And like Melchizedek, Christ blesses us by his word, but by his word, he vindicates us from our enemies, from sin, death, and the devil. Earlier in the sermon, I mentioned that in Genesis 14, verses 19 through 20, Melchizedek says, "Blessed be Abraham, or Abram, by God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hands." We too are blessed. But we're blessed by someone much greater than Melchizedek. We have a great high priest who offers the sacrifice for our sins and is that same sacrifice. May we respond to him during this Lenten season with thanksgiving, always keeping our eyes on Jesus. Amen.